Boys and girls, welcome to No Bullshit Podcast. I got a special guest on with us today. This man, Paris. Jesus, you know what I fucking forgot to do, dude? I told myself to do this before. How do you pronounce your last name? Is it Mahaffey?
Mahaffey, yeah.
Okay, I didn't want to say Mahaffey. Paris Mahaffey. Now, for those of you who don't know Paris, and you might remember Paris because I actually did a customer interview with him. So Paris was actually a private client of the LA Mentorship Program. Then he transitioned into being one of the coaches inside the New Era Barbering. So then he started working inside the company and then started working his way up to now he's in more of a leadership role on the front end aspects of the business. So why I wanted to bring Paris on, and this is another one that I want to like kind of share with you guys in terms of like, I want to show you guys overall who's on the team, because it's not just my expertise. I meet with guys like Paris, like Rohit, another guy I'm going to introduce you named Joey later on, as well as a couple others, every single day. And every single day, we're always tackling the questions, how can we improve what we're doing as a company to provide better results, and what more other problems can we solve? And Paris is somebody that I always looked for in terms of like a lot of his overall expertise and overall points of view. Because again, he has a very dynamic point of view. Not only being outside of the company, looking in when he wasn't a customer, being an actual customer of the product, then being a coach, and then now leading the front end side of things. So I guess, Paris, for you, why don't you give us a quick background on yourself? I mean, I know you kind of already introduced yourself. I know last time you were scaling your bar business up. I guess kind of catch us up. Like, what are you doing right now? I know you had a big move and stuff like that. Just kind of catch the audience up.
Yeah, man. So I can't remember how long ago our last interview was, but it was when I hit my $75 price point. So yeah, man, since that move, man, obviously family's still doing good, you know, wife, kids. But we decided to pick up, man, and move our roots over to Texas, right? So we've been here for, I would say, 3 months since July, the end of June, beginning of July. We moved here, and then so right now I am still actively cutting hair just 2 days a week. So far since being in Texas, already been able to scale the business back to a $75 business in about a 2 month period of cutting. So yeah, man, just applying everything we do, and now, you know, getting a different skill set built out for myself. That's allowed me to help barbers in a completely different way and magnitude than what I thought was possible. So
absolutely. I guess for you, man, like I just kind of start off with questions wise. I mean, obviously, again, too, you have a very different perspective of the barber industry, because I mean, like, look, for you, I know you said you came up, you were always studying like a lot of barbers. I didn't really study overall. Now I was kind of seeing it from, again, to like the side that I see it from, and trying to help and push the industry forward. I guess what in your eyes is like maybe the biggest weakness, or what barbers struggle with the most that they all have in common, especially as the industry as a whole?
No, I think that's a good question, bro. There's a lot there. If I had to like pinpoint, I would say two things.
Okay.
Two things. If I had to pinpoint exactly two things, the first one is going to be just poor work ethic. I would say poor work ethic from the stance of like, they'll have the plan in front of them, right? Like, you know, you have the OG barber or somebody at a barber show or some kind of mentor saying, hey, bro, like, here's literally the cake recipe. All you got to do is just follow the fucking thing. Like, yeah, you're going to have to add your own ingredients, right? Like, you got to have your hard work. You got to have, you got to have some kind of skill set in cutting hair. Got to have a place to cut. But if you can bring these things to the table, then we can take a business to another level, right? So I think that would be a big one. The other one would be like overall just having bad habits, right? And bad habits in the sense of like, these are things that, I mean, let's be real, bro. Like, us as barbers, right? Like, bro, we fucked up a lot. Like, I know for myself, dude, like, I made some really dumbass decisions with money. Like, I had a fucking repo on my credit at one point from, like, just bad financial decisions. You know, I fucking fell behind on bills. I remember waking up and just, like, seeing my account, like, the negative 500 from a bill, the auto transaction at one point. So just really ignorant to what it took to run a business and be disciplined in that type of manner, right? And so, like, I mean, good habits is literally, I think, like, a combination of good habits and work ethic is where a lot of barbers overall fail at. So I don't know if you want to go into, like...
Well, I was going to kind of go in two ways. So obviously, like, we do these podcasts for two reasons, right? One, like, our current, like, private clients take a lot of value from, like, hearing from either me or you or anybody else they have on here and kind of learning as a byproduct of that. but also for barbers who are not as our private clients who also want to, again, they don't want to follow the traditional barber mindset. So I kind of want to kind of dive into both, right? So like both sectors on both topics. So like, let's just start off with like the work ethic thing, right? So obviously you talk to a lot of barbers and you're doing calls with barbers who are not inside the program. And you are also like, again, to a coach with barbers inside the program. Let's focus on the guys who are not inside the program first, right? What is the biggest issue with them on their work ethic in your I guess, opinion?
So it's a two-sided answer here, right? On the flip side, I want to give the credit to the guys because there's a lot of guys that work their fucking ass off, right? They're working 12-hour days, 4, 5, 6 days a week. They have the wife at home, kids, or, you know, a girlfriend, whatever it is. They're taking care of a sick loved one. So, like, there's that side where they work extremely hard to provide, but they're scratching. They're literally, like, doing this on the wall the whole fucking time. They're scratching for, like, a way out, right? Mm-hmm. And they, every which way they turn, they're hitting some kind of friction, hitting some type of like barrier that's keeping them from going forward. They can't breathe. And so you get that individual, right? And it's they're doing the wrong kind of work, right? So they're working hard, but they're doing the wrong type of work that's not getting them to the places they need to. Maybe they're not shaking the right hands. Then there's the guys that like, how do I say it? They're just dumbasses overall, right? I don't know how else to say it, man. Like, they're just, like, it's just, like, dumbasses. That, I don't know, bro. They just make fucking excuses about everything.
So just, like, the complaint, the victim mindset, like, we don't even call them dumbasses. They're just fucking lazy as fuck.
Yeah.
They deserve to fucking lose in life.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's the guy that's like, yeah, bro, the shop owner's booth rent is too much. And it's like, just make more money, dude. Like, how many days a week are you working? Well, I'm working two. Yeah, like it's side, like
yeah.
You know what I mean? So you get that side of it, right? So
okay. Well, I guess like let's go flip side. Let's say a private clients. Obviously, like I think a lot of times a barber will come in into working the program with us, and I think there's two sides of it, right? Like one, you'll get somebody who comes in, like let's say an Anna, a Tough, an M, and they'll just be fucking locked the fuck, no matter what. Work ethic's there, doing everything possible. And like get the result. And then you have people who think they're doing the work, right? But it's like they really aren't. Like again, like kind of like give us a depiction of what you see and have seen before private clients who do well and who don't do well, and the difference in the work ethic. Because to I think in their opinion, both think they're doing the work, but they're obviously getting different results.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go off like accounts that I have firsthand experience working with, right? Sure. Like there's two people that came to my mind immediately when you said work ethic.
Sure.
Zay Golden.
Yep.
And Darius Williams, right? Yep. Whenever Darius started working with us, bro, he was only making like $600 a month working in a fucking garage. Mm. And like the kid didn't have a business, right? I don't even know if he had a barber's license at the time. Was only cutting maybe like 5 to 10 people a week. And now you hear his business stats and like the dude's clearing like $6,000 plus a month.
Yeah.
Easy now, right? Yeah. Getting 30, 40 new clients. You take a Zay Golden who like, the kid's a fucking dog. I mean, the guy's got a half-ass black, like, sleeve tattoo. Like, he's got a fucking,
Does he really?
Yeah. You bring
it, check this. That. Jesus.
He's a dog, bro. But I don't know if you know, he just bought a Corvette, too.
I think I've seen that. When I did his customer, the post on him on Instagram, I'm like, look, this motherfucker with the car. Okay, I see.
So whenever I did his initial call, he was like, bro, P, like, my goal is to get a Corvette in 90 days, like, by my birthday. And I was like, bet, let's do that shit, right?
Yeah.
And it took him about 5 months to get there. He had to special order the car, brand new, whatever, what have you.
Yeah.
But the reason I bring him up is, like, a guy like that, he came in and he already had success, right? Like, he already was making 8 to 10K a month. Like, he didn't necessarily need the help to move forward. But he came in and he came to me, he came to you and was just like, yo, bash my face in, right?
Yeah.
And the work ethic to always improve. But like, bro, he had the fucking work ethic to like get to the next level. What? We say 3 months. The motherfucker hit 16K in what, 2.5 months from an 8K. Like he was making 8K to 16K in 2.5 months, right? Like, I mean, that's almost unheard of in any kind of business unless you put in that work. So I think those are good examples. Now, on the flip side, you got a bad example. I'm a terrible example.
Okay.
When I first started working in the program, bro, like, I don't know if you remember, I started working, it was January, it was right before my son's birthday, January of 2021.
Yeah.
And
I remember you onboarding. You were like in the car going to like, I think it was a birthday like party or some shit like that. I remember.
Yeah. I was driving to the mountains for my son.
Yeah.
So did that. And I started working in the program. Didn't start on modules, right? Didn't show up to Q&A. I showed up to like two Q&A calls. I just fucking ghosted, right?
Sure.
And then like I was doing work here and there. I was still smoking like all the fucking time, drinking. I was still trying to be a barber school instructor while running a barber shop. While I was doing too much shit at one time. Mm. And so my work ethic was focused on the things that weren't going to build the empire type deal, right? Now, I got locked in September. Or August, the end of August, and had my first official price raise November 18th. Mm. And that was to $75, right? So it took me 2 months of doing the right work and putting in the work ethic in the right position to scale me. And so the reason I say it, man, like I see a lot of guys, they come in and they still focus on the wrong shit, right? They still focus on like being judged by the barber down the street or being judged by another barber that's making $10,000 less than them a week or whatever. I know that's an extreme there, but like it's they're worried about the wrong shit that's not moving the business forward. They still want the flashiest shoes. And so their work ethic is geared toward having shoes and flash and not toward, you know, creating something else, right? So.
Yeah, like... I'm going to be honest, dude. I don't remember, like, you being a fuck-up with the first... I remember Greg being a fuck-up because I was like, Greg, what the fuck are you doing? But I remember you... The only thing I remember, like, from, like... And this is probably why I don't remember because you just weren't on there, right? The only thing I remember when you were first in there, like, it was that moment we were getting on board. And I remember you, Greg, and who else? I think it was just you and Greg. We just go back-to-back and keep me on Q&A calls for, like, 3 hours. I'm like, bro... Like, you're like, check bro. This... But I'm like, bro.
That's
like,
the fucking work ethic that I'm talking. That was because like I've always done that shit.
Yeah.
I just wasn't I wasn't looking in this. I was looking over here instead of looking over here, right? Like,
And for those who just don't know, like basically the dynamic was like we get through all the questions, right? And Paris, I knew this motherfucker. So like, I think he asked a question first, and then he waited until the very end, right? And then this motherfucker asked another question. And I'm like, okay, fix this, this, and this up in the market. And he's like, bet. And then I don't know if he got Greg to go ahead and buy him some time. But then Greg's like, oh, I got one more question. And I'm like, cool, Greg, just fix this, this, and this. I'm like, cool, any other questions? I'm like, cool, I'm done, right? Paris like, oh, I got another one. And then they will go back and forth for like at least another 30 minutes. I'm like, dude, what the? It has to be every Q&A call. So that's all
I remember. I mean, you got to think about it, man. Like, this is the work ethic portion of it. Like Greg to himself, like Greg may have been a dumbass. I love my boy, but like some things didn't click for him when it needed to.
Yeah.
For me, I just didn't want to do the right work. And it was like, you get on those calls, dog. And it's like, hey, I'm telling you what the fuck to go change.
Yeah.
And you have another 40 minutes on this call. Why the fuck am I going to go scroll on TikTok? Why are you going to go scroll on Instagram or message a shorty back? Like, none of that shit's going to move the business forward. Right now, I'm in a business meeting, so I'm going to treat it as such.
Yeah.
So let me make these changes, these edits. Let me get this tracking sheet for you, right?
Yeah.
And so that's the work ethic that more people in the program need to have that they don't have right now.
Yeah. And honestly, I mean, like, I say it, like, jokingly, like, it was the worst thing ever. But, like, honestly, when I have customers in the program and private clients like that, that shit gets me because like I know we're about to get like real good results because you're locked in. There's no way in hell you're gonna fail. It's some motherfucker that pops in once every 4 months. Hey, I just want to check in. I'm like, oh boy, all right, come on, that's what we got. Come on, like we gotta figure some shit out. All right, so we went on. Did we go to the other side? Did we go? Work ethic on. We didn't go even work ethic people outside the program, did we? We got lost on a tangent. All right. Well, the other one was it was work ethic, and what was the other? What was the other one? Jesus, I should have wrote this down.
Good habits. We're talking about
things. Good habits. There we go. Okay, cool. Good habits. Well, okay. Let's start with good. Like, what are some bad habits that barbers who are not in the program that you talk to all commonly have?
Dog, like even moving, like, I mean, I'm now, so I went from like a private studio in Georgia. So I've been out of a shop environment for 3 years, I think, right? Until I moved to Texas. And like even getting back around some of the barbers that I see here in Texas, like they're phenomenal barbers, really great individuals, great hearts, big, like they dream big. But when it comes to the good habits, it's like, why are we eating out every day? Right? Why are we going to, eating out every day? Or why are we smoking every day? Why are we drinking every day? Why don't we understand where our money is actually going? Why don't we have a system of tracking? Why do we have less than $1,000 or $2,000, $20,000 in the bank? Right. The habits of why are you sitting on your hands all day? Like, why are you sitting on your hands all day and not doing something actively to get clients in the door when you have bills paid? So I see things like that. And another really, really terrible habit that I see, not there, just barbers in general, they're not willing to make the right sacrifices. Not willing to make the right sacrifices that are going to not only just help them, because they get very, very selfish, right? And like, being selfish can be a great thing at the right moment, right? But they're selfish in the fact of, I want the new shoes. They're selfish in the fact that I want to go on a vacation that I have to eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches on. They're selfish in the fact of like, they want to be at the shop instead of going on vacation with their parents because they have to work all the time, right? So they have a greed for money and not a greed for memory, right? And like, for me, once I established good habits in myself, I started attaching myself to want to have more memories, right? Like, and letting my kids have those memories, that helped me establish good habits, like waking up at 5 a.m. and going to hit in the gym, or reading some books instead of watching some bullshit, or even watching a docuseries of, you know, Mark Cuban or Tim Tebow that is ultimately going to inspire me, but also teach me something that maybe I'm lacking out on. So like, when I look outside, that's what I see. Just bad decision-making overall, sure. Right?
Like what I take from that is I know you said selfish, but like more like choosing freedom, like choosing actions that will like elicit freedom in the long run, right?
Yes.
Like long term thing, not short term thinking of like, again, to smoking weed or like here short term vices, but what's that going to actually get you a long term goal of like what you actually want to achieve and get? Okay. Well, now here's a good interesting one as well too, right? Because obviously you've worked with a lot of private clients, so. Bad habits that private clients have coming in and working with us. What do you have on that? And what do you have advice on them for?
The number one thing, bro, I would say they are afraid of constructive criticism because they've only got destructive criticism in the past.
That's fire. Yeah.
They're afraid of constructive criticism because they've only got destructive criticism in the past.
That's a bar.
That's a bar.
I need
Bernie Yeager's thing right now.
I'm not saying Bernie Yeager's
I think that's the biggest thing, bro. Like, people are just so afraid. I feel like people are afraid of the success they can actually fucking have, bro.
Yeah.
When you really think about it, like, some people have never thought about not being a barber. Some people have never thought about what life looks like outside of the industry. Some people have never looked at life without having a fucking broke back or a six pack on their feet. Right? Like, they've never, you know what I mean? Like, never thought about
bars. Yeah.
So it's like, bro, like, it's such a critical piece to like, you got to be like, that's one thing where when I say I appreciate Greg, I love the fuck out of Greg because Greg will literally put himself on blast, right? Like, he just put himself out there and just be like, yo, tell me what it is, right? Yeah. And he will take that ass whooping mentally, emotionally, physically, whatever it is, but he's getting better. That's what I did. That's what Nicolo, bro. Nicolo's a freaking animal, bro. Nicolo does this shit left and right. It's like, yo, Nicolo, like that, you're scared. What the fuck happened this week? And he's like, yeah, bro, you're right. And like, we're able to pinpoint those things, right?
Yeah.
So to anybody that's like struggling with that, the simple advice is going to be, man, like, it, put your ego aside, man. Like, your ego is your enemy at the moment. And until you let that go, you will never, I promise you, you will never have the success that you can potentially have. You won't even have an inch of the success because your ego is standing in the way of you actually accelerating where you can get to.
I got a question on that too. So like, again, so you work with private clients. Obviously, I'm sure you've had a couple instances where, like, people who have this ego, have, like, they don't have these good habits of, again, to getting, like, constructive criticism, but have work somehow to be able to work through that and actually go ahead and get constructive criticism. What have you seen in them? Like, one, what do they do to make that mental shift? And two, any value you can give to anybody who's struggling with that right now to get themselves out of that, like, bad space into the growing space?
I think this is going to come more so. And, like, I don't really talk on, like, my accomplishments.
Sure.
But I think it was me being a good leader for that individual, right? So, like, talking to Mike, talking to Sino, talking to Zay, it's for you guys. Like, you guys, you have to humble yourself, right? Because, like, I wasn't the perfect. I fucked up. I'm human, right? Yeah. I would fuck up in my coaching role. But I allowed the accounts that I gave them the space to say, yo, Paris, what the fuck is going on, bro? The same way that I would be with them, I gave all of the clients that same expectation to treat me that way. And all of them know that. So I think it came from the sense of, like, yes, they knew I would help them. I'm account manager, coach. But they had a responsibility to hold me accountable because I believed in their success. I believed in their dream. So I would pick up the phone, bro. It was a simple, like, hey, yo, like, I understand, you know, like, I think me and Anna, like, I respect Anna so much, right? Yeah. Me and Anna had bumped heads at one point, and all really? It took me was a phone call, yeah, right? What? And it was because, like, I wasn't getting back to her in enough time. I wasn't being as responsive, right? So I was fucking up. Yeah. And Anna was able to call me out on that, and I just, hey, Anna, like, yo, I'm sorry. Like, you know, what's going on? Like, and I talked to her about it, and I say it's unacceptable on my end.
Yeah.
Like, how do you want to handle this? And I gave her a position to take leadership over our relationship as a coach and as a player, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I felt like me stepping myself down to learn from them said, you know what? If he can do it, then fuck it. I can do the same exact thing.
I can put
my ego aside to get help from somebody else that's literally just trying to help me.
Sure. Okay. So we did both sides already. I think, like, the last kind of, like, thing I want to wrap up, because I know it's getting a little bit late, but, and we'll also, like, get to, for those of you listening too, Paris is going to be another one that I want to have on, like, at least bi-weekly on here. So if you guys want to hear Paris on here every single week, go ahead and make sure you screenshot, share with a friend overall. I guess the last thing, man, like, you know, and this is just from my point of view too, right? And I think, you know, I can empathize with this. I was, like, to have this mentality of the lone wolf overall. It always kind of confused me. I can get it for barbers who don't work with us in the program. Like, obviously, if you're, again, too outside, you have the lone wolf mentality. Oh, no, everybody's against me. I just never got the fact of, like, once somebody gets into a program like this and starts working with us, why the fuck would they do the lone wolf bullshit still? Like, they're literally coming to work with us, not to, like, have us help them, not just continue doing what they're doing to get the same results. I guess for you, like why do you feel like so many barbers in the pro, like, I should say there's so many barbers in the program, so many barbers in the industry, and there's still some barbers in the program. Why do you feel like they're so gung-ho on doing this, like, I guess, lone wolf bullshit? Or maybe is it a mental, like, shift they need to have for themselves?
Good question. I like that one. I like that. So the first thing I would say to this is, like, in both in the program and outside of the program, it's going to come down to, like, their cognitive existence, right? Mm. What they believe to be true about themselves. So, I mean, like, you take, like, you got individuals, man, that, like, legit grew, like me, bro. Like, I didn't grow up with a dad. You know what I mean? Like, I grew up, like, and we can get into my story a different time, but, like, I didn't grow up with a real positive male father figure in my life to lead me, right? I didn't have anyone to believe in me, right? My grandfather was in the KKK, so we know how that story could go. My dad had 16 kids. We know how that story can go overall, right? So I think a lot of it too, man, it's like people come, a lot of barbers are the castaways, right? And I say that with, like, a quote unquote, like, people don't look at barbers as people of society, right? And I'm not, and I don't want it to sound negative, because, like, I love the industry. I love what I do. I love cutting hair. So I still choose to cut today. But there's just a stigma about being a barber that some people don't agree with in just typical everyday society.
Sure.
And so whenever we get into this thing, we've been feeling alone for so long, and we've probably been taken advantage of by a lot of fucking people, right? Like, for some people, they've been taken advantage of by their mother. They, you know, like how you got robbed by your, you know, by your roommate overall, right? You know, me, like I was taken advantage of by multiple family members and like had my name drugged through the dirt. And so like the fear, it's a fear that's like, yo, I'm just going to get used again. That's what it boy, they're fearful that they're going to get used again. And they've never had anybody else believe in them the way that we believe in the people we work with, right? And so I think that's why, I mean, again, like we have such an extensive vetting process because we want people to help us believe in them. And if we can believe in you, then we're 100% sold. We're 100% sold out to you getting the success and getting the result. That's why we don't have a problem bashing in Greg's head, right? That's why we don't have a problem bashing in my head. You know what I mean? So I think it just comes down to like, they've never been in a space a lot, not everyone, where they have felt included and they have felt heard. And so it's scary for some people to have that safe space to be able to talk about whatever it is and be held accountable for their actions. A lot of people, especially a lot of young men, bro, they have never had that shit in their life.
Okay. So I guess a follow-up question to that too, again. So I know that was kind of like a broad spectrum, right? Let's go with like barbers who are in the program. Because again, these are people who, again, they've chose to get help. Yet again, too, a select few are still wanting to play. And that always frustrated the fuck out of me. I'm like, dude, I would have rather you not even join the program to like not waste my time to like put like, because I'm wasting my time. Like, they're like, oh, but what do you care? Like, dude, that's my time that's wasted. Like, I'm trying to pour into you, give as much information, help you, and you're not fucking doing anything. You're not even fucking letting me know you're alive, bro, right?
Facts. You're not even responding. You don't even respond. Like, I used to call people. I'm like, yo, bro, are you good? You good? Like, they would never pick up the phone, never respond to a message. Like, hey, man, I just want to make sure you're alive. Like, I don't even want shit.
Because I know for me, and you're probably, it's like, there's no better feeling, like, when you work with, like, a private client that's in contact with you constantly, who's getting fucking results. Because it's like, it's just like, yes, we're like, this is amazing. It's like, it's again, too, it's one thing to run your own business. It's another to, like, help others, like, go ahead and run the business, too. Because, like, you have all that XC coming in all at once. And so, I guess for you, like, why do you feel like some barbers still kind of go that route, even when they're trying to get help?
I'm going to use an example, bro, of somebody in the program. I don't know if you've thought about this person. Lincoln.
Oh, who?
Lincoln.
Interesting. Okay.
Lincoln, bro. So, like, I mean, like, you know Lincoln's story yourself. I know his, right? And, like, I remember the time, man, where, like, Lincoln was afraid to get that feedback, right? And and you, I don't know if you remember, like, there was a few Q&A calls where he got real emotional about, like, not having people believe in him. And that's one reason he was afraid of getting help, right? And so there's somebody like Lincoln. And then when he had Levi, his son, now he's like, fuck it, bro. Now I got to change my life because now my son is going to be looking
at me. You know what? I did see him change a hell of a lot after he had his son. Interesting.
Right. And so it was like that was his catalyst. That was his mark. Now Lincoln has been super consistent. We're seeing growth in his business. Right. I guess he's not getting as much feedback. Lincoln, get some fucking feedback. Get on these damn calls and get some help, bro. Like lock in with Mike, Cena, or Zay. It's a call to action. But but then on the flip side, you have guys like, God, who was it? Yo, do you remember Jeremiah?
Yeah.
When Jeremiah was like doing this, like we were doing this headbutting thing. And it's like, Jeremiah, just get on the call, bro. Yeah. And it was like his ego. He's like, nah, bro, like I know I'm doing everything right. I'm doing everything right. I'm doing it right. And I'm not getting a result. And I'm like, well, clearly you're not doing anything right, bro.
You do it right, you begin the result, motherfucker. Like,
Jeremiah is my dog, bro. Your waves are still ass. I'm calling you out. But, anyways, right? So, like, Jeremiah, he was going through that, like, I'm not getting result, not getting result. And he went ghost for a little bit.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then he came back, right? Was in the shadows like a Michael De Jesus, was in the shadows just getting coaching, right? Yeah. Getting feedback, digging little nuggets. And then he's like, yo, DC, I think I'm ready for a price raise.
Yeah. Like, you know
what? What the fuck? You know what I mean? And so, like, guys are great examples.
You gotta use the Mississippi accent, DC.
What's good, my guy? So I think those guys are great examples of like what it looks like to overcome that ego, right? Even the guy, bro, the fourth Ken. I mean, you think about him, bro, like, look, I mean, the guy was solid before, crazy YouTube channel, already doing numbers and, like, putting ego down to then come in this thing and take his business to a whole completely different level, right?
I respect the fuck out of the fourth Ken, bro.
Like, yeah, bro.
Because, like, there's I know, I don't know how many like bigger barbers you've talked to, but I've run this thing. I've talked to barbers for like 4 years, so I've talked to a fucking ton of barbers who's out there the shit. And like, Ken was like the most humble dude, and like I'm like, oh shit, you're really about to take off because you're this talented and you're about to get this. You're about to fucking kill it because everybody else is like, oh,
baby too, bro.
Yeah,
like, baby, bro.
Can't even fucking drink. When he came to L.A. Me and fucking...
He couldn't drink.
Yeah, me and Dave.
He couldn't drink.
He's like, oh, I can't drink. I'm like, why? I'm like, he's like, I'm 19. I'm like, what the fuck, bro? Like, you serious? So, yeah, he's like, again, to a great example of somebody, again, to like, no matter what level you're at, like, putting ego aside, coming in and getting the fucking result. Another one I can think off the top of my head is Tone Sosa?
Tone Sosa, yeah, bro. Crazy fucking bitch. And he's an OG for per se. Like, yeah. Another one that just came to my head that I think is the epitome of everything we talked about today, bro.
Okay.
Everything M.
Okay, give it to me.
Have you ever met anybody in the program harder on themselves? I can't say so. Skill set. M had to improve skill set a lot, right?
Yeah.
M had to deal with a lot of mindset setbacks.
But M's from fucking Boston. That's that Boston grit.
Fucking dog.
Come on now. Like, anytime M gets a fucking, like, whatever, M's over there just hyped the fuck up, right?
Like, yeah. But, so, like, dude, I remember talking to M. M's like, Paris, dude, like, this shit sucks. And I'm like, oh, M, like, relax, bro. Like, you're good. Bro, look at this shit. Like, bro, like, I just got another, like, it was like when Greg hit, like, yo, Daniel, my reach dropped to 30 million. It was like, what the fuck?
Like, bro, you're good. You're getting clients in, bro. You're straight.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think M, man, like, embodies, like, M had to establish financial. M's finances were fucked when M got in the program, right? So M had to establish good habits finances. M was doing a lot of partying, a lot of going out, spending money on stupid shit. Right, like, yeah, just like just dumb stuff, like a lot of date nights, a lot of whenever we did finance tracking, right?
Sure.
And then like self belief didn't like if you remember like M didn't believe in self, like can I like knew he had the talent, but didn't see that he could do it, and it took people like you and I to say, yo, like you can do it, right? Yeah. M just had the work ethic. M had the win with all. To make sure shit got done. So I'm like, that's why I say M's the epitome of the conversation today, dog.
That's actually facts. Like, when I did his call, like, M was like, oh, man, I don't know. I'm going to think about, like, M. Like, here, like, I'm just going to, like, lay it out there right now. Let me be honest with you. Like, financially, you can do this. Like, this doesn't come a financial thing. This is more of, like, a mental thing. Like, you're good. M's like, you're right. I'm like, yeah, M's gonna fucking kill it. Like, after I saw that mental shift, because, again, to most people, they'll fucking fold. Once I saw M actually come to, like, a logical standpoint, like, I'm fine, I'm just getting overworked over nothing, I was like, as long as you keep that mindset, you're gonna fucking kill it. And that's exactly what you see right now.
Yeah, like, the hardest thing with working with M for me was getting M to just post a fucking win. It was like, yo, yes, I read it in the community. It was like, the only reason I'm posting this shit is because Paris calls me every day and is screaming at me. Like, Paris just keeps screaming at me. I'm like, yo, post the fucking win, right? And like, other than that, like, again, like, M's the epitome of like what the program can do. I think M was at like a $40 price point.
Yeah, and just overworked as fuck. Like,
bro.
Yeah, working out.
Damn, yes.
I don't remember how many cuts he was doing, but I remember it was crazy.
So, yeah.
Cool. Well, here's the sad thing, man. The sad thing about right now is not the fact that we got to wrap up. It's the fact that it's 8:17 p.m. and oh, I only got 3K steps. I thought I had like 6K steps to get. That's not too bad. I still got to finish some cardio.
I got to go hit the treadmill and get a meal in the next 45 minutes.
Same. I got to get a meal in too. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I'm going to figure it fucking out, right? You get it gritty no matter what. Anyways, boys and girls, I appreciate you tapping in. Paris, I also appreciate you hopping on. We're going to do these bi-weekly. So overall, if you guys have any questions, feel free to hit up Paris again too. Some of you already talked to him. Those in the community know who the fuck he is. Paris the fucking legend, Mahaffey. And other than that, boys and girls, if you fuck with this podcast, my one simple request and Paris's one simple request, share this with a motherfucking friend. Until next time, see you guys in the No Bullshit Podcast.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, it went a little bit. It went 34 minutes. Not too bad. I forgot. I don't even know why I forgot that I was like going to ask you questions and like just let you do. Because I'm like, oh my God, what do you got to say? And,